today on Real Radio.
You know the people that you're working with and living with right now? It's built into them. They don't even know it. They're arguments that they'll throw up in front of you. They think they're so hot. Watch this. Oh, yeah? And they'll say something and you'll come right back with an answer from the word. It's all programmed. It's all rigged. There's nothing that anybody can stump you on if you know the word.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How a Church is to be Loved, begins in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 with verses 13 through 20. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. Now, the Thessalonian church was established on Paul's second missionary journey to a Roman city called Thessalonica. Paul considered this church to be a model church, and he taught them to be vigilant about Christ's return. He also praised them for allowing God's word to fill their hearts and their minds, working in them and building in them a stronger faith. Today, Pastor Jack talks about how Paul's instruction to the Thessalonian church was taken seriously as they showed it in their devotion to spreading the gospel. The proof of their internal faith was proven by their external, public, and visible work among their neighbors. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I read this weekend. It blessed my heart. I put it into the notes here this morning because the wonderful thing of what Paul is doing here is how we ought to be led and how the church ought to be conducted and how we should be. And he's showing us through this form and through this act of his of leadership. Well, I came across this. During the Civil War, it was raging, and they had come to a very critical point, and they were just preparing to go into a battle, the North was, and a soldier approached Abraham Lincoln and said, "President Lincoln, I am most anxious to know if the Lord is on our side in regards to this upcoming battle." And it said there that Lincoln paused for a moment, and he said, "Young man, I'm not so concerned about that, but what I am concerned about is whether we are on the Lord's side in this battle." Isn't that a great thing to say? Isn't that a great thing to question? Is God on our side? Oh, is God on our side? Listen, the question is, are we on God's side? So often we try to get God to get behind our program. No way. We need to get behind God. We need to get in line with Him. And the beautiful thing about this book and about this study is that God is for us. He has provided Himself for us. He's not only behind us. By God's grace, if you're a believer this morning, you are in line with His will and His desire. And so we're going to look here and now into three points of this study that we begin in the second chapter, beginning at verse 13. Why don't we read through it and come back and we'll look closely at the first point. Paul says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it were the word of truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea and in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Jews, who, by the way, killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoring more eagerly to see your face with a great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ?" And here it is, that warning at the end of every chapter, "at His coming. For you are our glory and our joy." So the first point this morning is found in verse 13, and that we need to be careful as a church, and we need to encourage, like Paul is, one another, to be in the Word of God so that the Word of God would be in us. Is the Bible in you? How do you know? Because God will speak to you from the Bible being in you. You've heard it time and time again, not only from here, but from other places, that you need to be in the Word. That's how God speaks, is when we are in the Word, God draws it up out of the well of our heart and brings it to the memory of our mind and runs it across and schools us in what we ought to do and how we ought to do it. And so we want to be careful that God's Word is in us. And the Scriptures teach us concerning the priority of God's Word in us. And it says right here in verse 13, he says, "For this reason we also give God thanks without ceasing, because," here, "when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men." What is the difference? There's a lot of people running around talking for God right now, you know. How do you know that what I'm saying right here is inspired by God? You know, the Bible teaches that if you're possessed by the Holy Spirit and in the way of evangelism or teaching or preaching, that the Holy Spirit will inspire the words and the speaker. Well, how can that be true? Because if we are called of God, we are to be speaking the Word of God. Remember, He doesn't need me and He doesn't need you. And He really could even use rocks, like we talked about on Good Friday, remember that? Or Palm Sunday. Or He could even use Balaam's donkey. That donkey who stood in the path. He can make that donkey to talk. And so God doesn't need us. He uses us, but He'll use anything to what? Speak, preach, teach the word. And Paul says, you didn't receive the words that we gave you as though they had come from men. And church, that's a great thing that you and I need to grab onto this morning. What is it that you're hearing? And how do you hear it? Are you hearing God's word, or are you hearing the latest and greatest about the church bingo escapades or the potluck or picnic? Or is it the word of God? Very important. Well, you know what? What if we don't believe that the Bible is the word of God? Well, there's no reason why you shouldn't believe in the Bible being the word of God. You may have all your little arguments, but I want to stress little. They mean nothing because the Bible is tried and true. It's without error. It's absolutely accurate. But the beautiful thing is when God fills our hearts, Paul is talking about a people whose hearts were filled with the word, and they recognized the word and they received it. And Paul gives them his vote of confidence right here. He says, "For this reason, we also give God thanks without ceasing." My goodness, every time we think about you guys, we thank the Lord for the way you took in the word. And I like that. And there's nothing like being encouraged. He's encouraging them. Don't you love encouragement? When's the last time you were encouraged? Christians need to be very encouraging people, especially those of you who are right on the edge and fighting and warring in the spirit. You need encouragement. There's nothing worse than to be working in a job and you're really doing the best you can and your boss comes up and goes, "Is that all you've done?" Man, that just rips your heart right out of you. You know what I'm talking about? It's the pits. And you do something really good, and the coworkers are going, "That's great! Man, that's a good one!" And the boss walks by and goes, "Well, try harder next time." That just destroys you. I thank the Lord that Jesus doesn't speak like that. I love the tone in which He speaks. God can say something to me. I mean, He'll be busting me. "Jack, that is wrong." And the way He says it is, "Jack, that's wrong, man." And it's no thunder and lightning, flames coming out of heaven and frying me. It's the way He says things that blows my mind. And Paul, in writing, which is one of the most difficult ways to communicate, you know, when you write, you can't put the feeling in there. But Paul is saying, "I thank God." We don't even cease from thanking the Lord for how you received the word. What an encouraging thing to hear. It's a beautiful thing. Their hearts are all charged up. And what is beautiful to this, or to me about this, is that the encouragement is so needed. And those who are serving the Lord not very often receive God's encouragement and God's blessing through others. We need to be encouraging people. And we need to put that into practice. Paul is giving them his vote of confidence. Look at the middle part of verse 13. He says right here, "But when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it." Two important words. You ought to circle the word received and the word welcome. In some of your translations, it appears as the same word, which is unfortunate. In the original Greek language, it appears this way, that the word received means you listened with your ears. That's what it means. Well, we're giving God thanks for you because when you listened with your ears concerning the word of God, you heard it. Hey, listen with your ears. You're sitting here this morning. Now, you may not have just heard a word I said. You may have been saying, did I turn the stove off this morning? Did we leave our lights on? I wonder, you know, when's he going to get done so we can go to the beach? What are you thinking? What are you hearing? You've got to first be listening with your ears. Paul says, I praise the Lord, you listen with your ears. And that's the way it has to happen first. But he says that you welcomed it. And this word welcomed means to listen with the heart. And that's what separates some of you from the others. You're not listening with your heart. You listen with your ears. You hear the word of God, it's like, I heard that. I don't understand a word he said. I don't have an appetite for this. You're just listening with your ears. You're really not hearing a thing. But some of you are listening with both ear and heart. It comes into your receiver, that's your ear. It's just a dish. But it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. And Paul says, you listen with your heart. We need to be listening with our heart. The beautiful thing about this is that this church heard the word of the Lord. They appreciated God's word. They listened with the ear. They listened with the heart. And the Bible will never be understood unless we do that. It's got to be that twofold type of listening. And why is that important? Because Jesus quoted when he was on earth. He quoted the scriptures. He affirmed the authority of the Bible, the accuracy of it, the authority of the scriptures in his teaching and in the way he lived. Jesus backed up the Bible completely. And every Bible story that it's attacked by the liberals, Jesus said was true. Oh, you don't believe in Noah's Ark, do you? Jesus does. He talked about it. You don't believe in a flood, do you? Jesus did. He spoke about it. And I'm much more prone to believe the words of Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, who's eternal God, raised people from the dead himself, than some quacks that call themselves theologians. It's true. The word of God is. Jesus held strong to it, and we need it in our lives. You might want to jot this down, 2 Timothy 3:16. How sure can we be? Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture, all of your Bible, has been given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is, teaching. In 2 Peter 1:19 and verse 20, I love this portion of Scripture. 2 Peter 1:19 says, we, Peter speaking, have also a more sure word of the prophetic revelation of God's word. Hereunto you do well that you take heed to it. You might say, well, Jack, that's your private interpretation of the Bible. That was Peter's private interpretation of the Bible. Well, listen what Pope Peter went on to say. He said, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is given for any private interpretation. You can't make it up. Well, and that's what you say. I had somebody tell me this week, that's your opinion. It's not my opinion. I just quoted you a verse. Don't you love doing that? Well, that's your opinion. I just quoted you the Bible, pal. Oh, yeah, well, men wrote it. Yeah, men wrote it. The Bible says possessed by God. That's why that's how you can tell that it's without error. If man would have wrote the thing, oh, brother, it's flawless. No scripture was given by God for private interpretation. I love it. It anticipates the arguments. You know about people that you're working with and living with right now? It's built into them. They don't even know it. They're arguments that they'll throw up in front of you. They think they're so hot. Watch this. Oh, yeah? And they'll say something, and you'll come right back with an answer from the Word. It's all programmed. It's all rigged. There's nothing that anybody can stump you on if you know the Word. Why? It's truth. It's the truth of God. There's an answer every time. Every time. An example about this word of power, Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Well, this may not bless you, but it blesses me. The power of Jesus' words in Luke 5, right around verse 4, Jesus had just got done teaching the multitudes, and he said to Simon Peter, you could just see Peter. He's sitting there looking. He's been up all night fishing. He's yawning. And he's kind of like looking out, like, oh, man. And then Jesus says, Simon Peter, oh, yes. Push your boat out on the water a little bit. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Don't you love the way he talks? But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. What does that have to do with the story? Isn't that funny? Jesus just gets done talking about God and his awesomeness, and then he says, Peter, yes, push the boat out in the deep water and let's catch some fish. Jesus, we have been fishing all night. If you knew anything about fishing, we've done it all. We tried every type of bait. We tried every kind of color net. We even used the glitter, glow-in-the-dark kind of net. We prayed about it. We were out there, haven't caught a thing. Now, Jesus, I got an idea. You're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. Let's just stick to our thing here. We'll be okay. And then he says, nevertheless, though, and Jesus must have looked at him and said, Pete. And because the next verse is, Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the nets. I love it. I love that. And you might say, well, you know what, Jack, big deal. I mean, that's, yeah, God's word's powerful and stuff, but we're talking about catching fish here. I need help with my job. I need help with my husband or my wife. And that's exactly the point of that little story. Peter had been fishing all night and caught nothing. Jesus says, go out there and get. The difference is Jesus was with them. And it was at his command, his word. And you might say, well, that's regarding fish. That's right. That's the beautiful part about it. You and I are concerned about fish. In that economy, it was, how is Peter going to make the payment on his boat trailer? It was coming due. How was Peter going to make his house payment? It was coming due. He needed fish to pay the bills. Jesus says, go back out there one more time. But Lord, I've already tried that company. Do it again. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll go back to there and give another application. And the difference is God is in it. He made the command. And it's not just fish. It's where you're at. It's how you live. And that's what he's concerned about. That's why he said, I watch every little sparrow that falls to the ground. I know all about it. Go again. Try again. But we try to counsel him. You're a carpenter. I know you're God. But I'm the programmer here, and I understand this program, and it's not going to work. God says, do it again. And that's where we find the Lord working in our lives, is right in the middle of our need. And it's so often through very common, very routine things in our life. Like for Peter, it was fishing. But I love what it goes on to say in Luke 5, 6 through 7. It says, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was beginning to break. Nevertheless, at your word, all right, drops down the net. And Jesus says, you know, all fish in the area, jump into the net. They go into the net, so much so that the net begins to break. And it says, verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and they filled the boats up and they began to sink. Then Jesus said unto Peter, carpenters knoweth how to fish too. No. Can you imagine? Lord, you know, okay, we'll do it. And the net's filling up and the boat's filling up. And it's like, my gosh, what's going on? So the Lord works through his word. In his word, he's going to bless your life. And listen, I don't want you to get upset with me. And there is stuff in here this morning that's going to upset you. But anyway, the thing is, we need to be careful. People, listen carefully. No one called me to tell me this so that I will tell you. If the shoe fits, take it off and put a new one on when I tell you what this is. If you are bowing out of your commitment to the word, gathering together, if you're skipping Sundays or Wednesdays or Sunday night home fellowships or whatever, listen, don't think for a moment that you're going to get any better. Gee, I had somebody tell me this week, you know what, I really didn't come Wednesday because I was tired. Well, okay. Why are you so tired? And this person went on to tell me why they were so tired. And I said, you know, you just described exactly what was spoken about Wednesday night. Well, I'll get the tape. You can't have the tape. No, really, I was angry inside, and it was really neat because I felt bad that I got angry on the inside. I didn't let that person know that I was angry on the outside. And then I was really starting to beat myself up about being angry at this person for not being here. And then the Lord revealed in my heart why. It was good to know. You know, our hearts are so wicked. It was good to have something good happen in there, you know. And the Lord said, you know, that's righteous anger. I wanted him there too. And this is the feeling I had. This is strange. But as a parent, you'll sit your kiddo down and you say, if you go out in that street one more time, I will spank you and you'll never forget it. Because if you get hurt out there on that street, you're going to get spanked. Now think about that. They just get run over. Get up! No, of course you would never do that. But the passion is, I love you. You better not get hurt. You better stay where you're supposed to stay and don't blow it. Because I love you. The whole motive is love. And I wanted to sit this person down and just say, you know what? If you would have been where you should have been, God would have blessed you and you would have power and then God did something. Whenever we opt out to not be with God and his people, we set ourselves at a handicap. Every time. There's no excuse why we shouldn't be gathering together more often. And it doesn't have to be in a formal service like this. Are any of our services formal? We need to be together. And Paul says, by the way, in the book of Hebrews, as we get closer to the Lord's return, we ought to be doing it more and more. Hebrews 10:25. Not only that, but they applied the word of God to their lives. Beautiful thing. We're going to obviously take quite a bit of time in verse 13, and pray for verse 14. He says that you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. That must be the case now for us who are believers. Is it working in our lives? Now listen to this. The word of God has been built in such a way that it brings power to accomplish God's will in the earth through us and God's people. It's the way it is. The word of God has been engineered and developed and built in such a way that when it's in our lives, in the world, it brings forth and produces the will of God in the earth. And you might ask, how is that done? Listen very carefully. This is kind of exciting. And I like how simple this is. The proof of our faith in Jesus Christ has nothing to do with what we say. You can preach the greatest message. I've got a quote that I love. There are many, most, that can preach better than I can, a better gospel than I can, but nobody on earth can preach a better gospel. Oh, there's greater preachers and greater teachers and greater evangelists, but there's not a one who can preach a better gospel.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church is to Be Loved. Thanks for listening today. And with God's Word within us and with God's people around us, His glory awaits us. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.